802-655-6672. If you are under the age of 30, you probably don't know what it's like to watch a losing Red Sox team.
Or Patriots.
Now, the Red Sox have had some bad years.
Yeah, a couple of last place finishes with John Farrell, as I recall.
But they usually, one with Bobby Valentine, one with John Farrell.
Oh, that was a fun summer.
But but they usually follow up a bad performance with a World Series title.
Right.
So who ends up caring? Rich, I've been training for this for 30 years. As a fan of the Mariners, all I know is bad baseball. With the exception of one really good year.
Like Buehner and those guys.
With one really good year in 95 and one really good year in 2001, all I know is losing baseball. I have developed the guidelines, or the guidebook, rather, to watching a bad baseball team.
You should play Loser by Beck.
You want me to play that?
No, it doesn't seem appropriate.
It does, but now I'm going to have to play it and monitor the music.
Don't worry, I'll just
sing it. I kind of wanted to play some like Swami music or something, because I feel like I'm having a seance. I have 15 guidelines for following a losing baseball team.
Wow, and, so you are a pro.
Yes, and also, if you're a fan of a habitually losing sports team, I'm curious to your guidelines. 802-655-6672. Rich, rule number one is this, and this is a very important one in the loser's handbook. As you watch your Red Sox and anyone else who watches a losing team, rule number one, always expect the loss. The wins become that much better when you go into every day thinking that it's going to be a loss.
Well, as a Red Sox fan, that has been my strategy for my entire 59 years as a Red Sox fan.
Not in the last 20, I guarantee you. Last 20, you've started thinking they were going to win.
No, I just get more whiny when they lose, because you're right. So it's a perfect time now to change that strategy.
Yes.
I mean, do I think they're going to go out with some guy named, what is it, Nick Hall?
I think Matt Hall.
Matt Hall is your starting pitcher, ladies and gentlemen, in Bo Sox Nation. Matt Hall, who I assume had an ERA last year of about 7 for some awful team.
Well, he's never played in the majors before.
Oh, well, all right.
So rule number one in the handbook, always expect the loss. It makes the wins that much better. Rule number two, adopt this phrase, whatever can go wrong will.
Yes, well, that's another Red Sox one. Up until, I mean, how many times did we say that in the Haskell household growing up with the Red Sox?
The rule number three is a big one. The game is never over when you're ahead. However, when you're down by more than 2 runs, it's always over. You just have to adopt that mentality. You could be up 9-1 in the fourth. The game isn't over.
Okay, so that goes back to rule number one, which is always expect the loss.
Yes.
Including with 9-1 leads.
Yes, yeah, so you're just waiting for the bad things to happen. You're up 9-1, you know it's going to be chipped away at. Yesterday, Mariners, perfect example. 3-0 lead on the Astros. They've gotten to the Astros pitcher. He's on the ropes. Boom. Mariners will end up losing 8-5. I knew it was coming, so I was ready for it.
So you say Friday night, Sox are up 13-2 going to the top of the ninth against the worst team in history. Shouldn't we have felt fairly confident about that win?
Well, we didn't know that they were this bad on Friday. Now, 3 days later, these rules are being put into place.
Well, at least last night they took us out of our misery. It was 7-0 in the blink of an eye, and they had no chance.
Rule number four, Rich, the save always has a chance to be blown. Always. Does not matter what the scenario is. You're up 8-5 in the ninth. There's 2 outs and nobody on. You're finding a way. Your mind is conditioned to now think hit by pitch, walk, air, walk off homer. That is what you are now conditioning yourself to think. You are, again, it's all about number one, expect the loss.
Yeah, I was going to say these all eventually will go back to rule one.
Yes.
It's a good thing you made it rule one.
Rule number five, this is a personal favorite of mine. Somebody you've never heard of is always likely to do damage against you. If there's a guy on the team who you've never heard of, that's the guy who's going to cause you pain that day.
Yep. Every year, at least twice, the Red Sox, even when they win championships, get completely dominated by a guy nobody's ever, that never pitched another winning game in his life.
2 years ago, they got shut out over 8 innings by Dylan Covey, who's now on their team with the ERA of 7.
Yes, that's one of the guys, the old Vermont player. Rowdy Tellez is that guy.
At least Rowdy Tellez has had 20 homers.
Whatever his name is. Now I'm mispronouncing. At least I'm spelling it right. Yes, but he kills the Red Sox.
When I'm watching the Mariners last night, they're playing the Astros, right? The pitcher strikes out George Springer. I'm like, hey, nice. Somebody named Tanner Garneau, some quad A catcher, hits one to the moon, and that brings in a couple of runs.
Probably a former Tri-City Valley Cat.
Yes, he was. Likely. Probably. So Tanner Garneau If you've never heard of the guy, they're the one likely to do damage against you. Rich, number six, another good one. Guys making major league debuts or coming back from injury can always be expected to dominate. Along the lines of guy you've never heard of or guy who shouldn't be good, that guy will always be good against
you. So it's basically a rehab start. Is that what you mean?
The other day, Lance McCullers was pitching for the Astros against the Mariners. He hadn't made a start in 18 months, came out, pitched excellent. Always expect that.
I didn't even know he was still in baseball.
When you think that a guy like, hey, they got this guy who hasn't pitched in 18 months, maybe we can get to him, you're not going to. That guy. However, when you have the guy who hasn't pitched in 18 months, he gives up seven in the first.
And the worst thing for Red Sox Nation right now is it wasn't like the Yankees came in here and just slaughtered us. It was the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, if that doesn't just take your ego and just throw it into the dirt. I mean, if you lose 2 out of 3 at home, I know it doesn't matter that it's really home because there's no one there to cheer for you. But it's the Baltimore Orioles. If the Orioles are going to do that to your pitching staff, imagine what the Yankees will do this weekend.
Mike in Essex says, Rich, don't accept Brady's rules. I'm not, your Boston fans are not losers. We don't tolerate losing.
No, I didn't say fans were losers, but the baseball team's about to be.
Well, I'm just saying fans better recondition themselves. Rule number seven, if you are the beneficiary of a baseball gift, the leadoff walk, the leadoff air, that guy doesn't always score for you. But when you do that, it always scores.
It always comes back to get you.
When they tell you in baseball, oh, the leadoff walk scores 75% of the time, that's true when you're the one who commits it. But when you get it, not always.
Right. Whenever you win a World Series, what's one of the first things you hear? They took advantage of all the breaks that were handed to them.
Yeah, your team doesn't do that anymore. The bad teams don't.
Okay.
Can't
wait. I'm already looking forward to the season.
Rule number eight, if you have bases loaded and nobody out, you got to be happy with one run. Other teams score like six on you. When you give up bases loaded, nobody out, it's a big inning.
Right.
When you get bases loaded, nobody out, you're lucky to get one. Right. Sack fly, double play, inning over, but you got the one.
Or as Joe Castiglione would say, well, the Sox were a little bit of a squander there.
That's a good impression.
Whenever the other team does it, it's this massive screw up. But when the Sox do it, it's a minor consequence of not hitting in the clutch.
Rule number nine, always anticipate the double play is coming for your team. Always anticipate that. Just like JD Martinez yesterday in the fourth inning with a couple of guys on.
Yeah.
Double play, the pitcher is always one pitch away from getting out of the inning when you're bad.
Okay.
Rule number
it's funny because these are all happening. So it's like we're four games in and I'm already seeing this.
Rule number 10, the umpire will always miss calls for your team. You expect this to happen. Yes. The ball that's right on the corner will be called a ball. The ball that's two balls outside will be called a strike.
And you won't get upset about it because that's the way it's supposed to be.
Because rule number one, you've taught yourself to always expect the loss. That's how this goes.
And if a non-player has to cause it, then so be it.
Rule number 11, you start looking for oddities to root for, like minor league prospects in normal seasons, or just rooting for young players to develop. Number 12, Rich, get familiar with college baseball because the draft is about to become a whole lot more important to you.
Yeah, and we'll get higher picks.
Yep, so that's what's going to happen there. When facing good teams, the best you hope for is a split in a four-game series or only losing 2 out of 3 in a three-game series.
So that's the way I'll go into the Bronx this weekend.
Yep, you're rooting for
only 1 out of 3.
Yep, split.
Well, you can't.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yes, 1 out of 3 against the Yankees. When facing good teams, I already read that one. 4, when you're coming back, you'll get close. They'll do enough to keep your interest, like the Sox did yesterday, getting to 7-4, but you're never going to.
Right, and they may load the bases with no outs in the bottom of the ninth.
And then hit you a double
just
play.
Just to stick the fork in a little further.
And then the last rule, rule number 15, the most important rule of all, even though you expect the loss, you still love them unconditionally.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And I, Exhibit A, the New England Patriots, for 30 years, I've said it 1,000 times on this show, and you stick with them and you throw things at the TV and they go 4-12 and 5-11 every year, and who knew?
Well,
that sixth round pick would turn it all around.
There's my 15 rules of watching a losing baseball team.
That's impressive. I'm ready. I'm ready for Nick Hall to keep it going.
I think it's
tonight.
Mike. Or whatever. Matt, I think. Wait.
I think his name is Alonzo, isn't it?
Or Alfonso. I think it's Matt. Now you got me confused on this stuff.
How about
yes,
this?
Yes, Matt Hall.
Two guys hosting a sports talk show on a station that carries the Boston Red Sox And we have no idea who the starting pitcher is tonight because no one's ever heard of him.
No, I knew it was Matt Hall. You keep calling him Nick and Mike and all these other things to screw me up. I knew it was Matt.
And Osich last night. And that second guy was real impressive, the one with a 33 ERA. But see, is this part of rule? Is this like rule 16 now, is to just constantly rag on them all the time?
No. You're allowed to rag on them, but nobody else is. Okay. That's rule number 16. So those are my 15 rules of watching a losing baseball team. If anybody has one that they want to contribute, 802-655-6672.
Sam in Plattsburgh has one we used to use. In fact, we used it for 86 years. It's okay. There's always next year.
I just look at now I'm so conditioned. Next year will look the same as this year. Because why? Rule number one, I always expect a loss. Always.
Yeah, but in this day, you can't go. Are you expecting the Mariners to go 86 years?
I'm expecting the Mariners to never win a World Series in my lifetime.
Wow.
Ever.
My dad used to, I've told this story, I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself.
Easy, Arnie.
My dad used to always brag, because he was born in 1917. He says, I'm the only one in the family that will ever see a Red Sox World Series in my lifetime. I remember it like it was yesterday. 1917, he was born.
And what year was
he? He was in diapers when they won it.
Hey, somewhere, they didn't even have TV then. So
no,
he was.
That's for sure.
Did they even have the radio in 1917?
I have no. You're asking me? I don't know.
You're the radio lifer.
Right, but I wasn't around in 1918.
Well, I thought maybe you would have learned some history. I backed into this profession. This was your life goal.
That's true. And I grew up listening to, I'd stick the transistor radio under my pillow and pretend that I was asleep when my mother would come in and check on me at like 8:30 at night.
You had to go to bed at 8:30?
I didn't have to. I just did. Because I wanted to be in good shape for the next baseball practice. That's all that matters.
Yeah, well, that's
sports.
Okay. That's okay, though.
Sports was just everything.
I thought you were going to say about that school thing.
No, I never studied for anything. My dad was the superintendent of schools. I didn't flunk anything.
Wow. So you're saying there's a little corruption there in the Milton, Mass. School District?
You heard it here.
Years later, how many times did your dad have to get you out of it was 45? Just make it a 7 instead.
Right. No, occasionally he would make sure that I had the teacher that he liked most when we'd be picking classes for the next year.
Jeff in Hinesburg, his rule number 16, don't ever have a second team.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. You only get one team. Yeah. I said I have become a Red Sox supporter because of just the proximity to the Red Sox and our access to the Red Sox. I will always be a Mariners fan.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
no matter what happens, I will be a Red Sox.
I was always
fan.
That
I will
way
be a Mariners fan
with the Expos. I was always that way.
Yeah, you don't get a second team.
So I couldn't be a fan of the Expos.
I was
very happy in '94 until the strike hit.
Not a diehard. No.
But it was fun to go up there and drink lots of Molson.
Well, that's acceptable even if you don't like the Expos. So. I'm a little disappointed. We didn't get enough text on my... I spent a lot of time on those 15 rules. So 802-655-6672. When we come back, last story standing. That's next on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.